The Creative Habit, Learn It and Use It for Life by Twyla Tharp. The routine is as much as part of the creative process as the lightning bolt of inspiration, maybe more. Writers establish times for themselves, and they do this every day, and it morphs into a habit. Creativity is a habit. The best creativity is the result of good work habits. Mozart wrote to a friend, "Nobody has devoted so much time and thought to composition as I." Mozart's focus was fierce. In order to be creative, you have to know how to prepare to be creative. There's a process that generates creativity. You can learn it and you can make it habitual. If art is the bridge between what you see in your mind and what the world sees, then the skill is how you build that bridge. Everything is raw material. Everything is usable. But without proper preparation, you cannot see it, retain it, and use it. There's no one ideal condition for creativity. The only criterion is make it easy on yourself. All preferred working states, no matter how eccentric, have one thing in common. When you enter into them, they impel you to get started. Rituals of preparation arm us with confidence and self-reliance. For example, a writer friend has a cleaning ritual before he writes. It works on two levels. One, because wiping away the dirt is like clearing away the self-doubt, but also because movement stimulates our brains. The habit and faith invested in it converts it into an act that provides comfort and strength. Rituals help clear the fog. The other obstacle to good work is distraction. You can't live without distraction permanently, but anyone can do it for a week, and the payoff will surprise you. The act of giving something up does not merely clear time and mental space to focus you. It's a ritual, too, an offering where you sacrifice a portion of your life to the metaphoric gods of creation. Build up your tolerance for solitude. Have a goal. You're never lonely when your mind is engaged. Being alone and being lonely are not the same thing. Solitude is an unavoidable part of creativity. Self-reliance is a happy byproduct. Every day you don't practice, you're one day further from being good. Once your basic needs are taken care of, money is there to be used. What better investment than in yourself? You won't be of much value to others if you don't learn to value yourself and your efforts. Take a week off from clutter and distractions such as these. Looking in the mirror, looking at clocks, looking at newspapers, speaking. Those are the four big ones, but there's also the telephone, the computer, the coffee shop, the car. We all have a creative code hardwired into our imaginations. It's your creative DNA, your creative personality. It's like a camera lens that can be adjusted, whose focal length can see the world either from a great distance or at arm's length or close up. Only the absolute giants of their genre, like Bach or Cezanne or Shakespeare, could work in many different focal lengths. The Greek word zoe, Z-O-E, refers to life in general without characterization, whereas bios, B-I-O-S, characterizes specific life. So zoe is like seeing Earth from space, and bios is distinguishing between one life and another. Bios accommodates the notion of death, and zoe is experienced without end in infinite life. Sacred art is zoe driven. Profane art stems from bios. One approach is not more valid than the other. Venturing out of your comfort zone may be dangerous, yet you do it anyway because your ability to grow is directly proportional to an ability to entertain the uncomfortable. So be willing to constantly stretch and grow your strengths and know what you should not be doing. Sometimes we get lulled into thinking we're a certain type of artist that doesn't really suit our nature. So knowing who you are can save you a lot of heartache and false starts if you catch it early on. You can observe a lot by watching others. Like, go out to on the street and watch a man and woman together and write down everything they do until you get to 20 items. Next, do it again. This time, only write down things that happen that you find interesting. When what you included and what you left out speaks volumes about how you see the world. If you do this exercise enough times, patterns will emerge and you will be revealed. Or pick a new name, a name that's original. Names have magic and power. Names are often a repository for a kind of genetic memory. A radical change in one's name is a commitment to a higher personal calling, and it's not uncommon among creative souls. The ancient masters of Japanese art were allowed to change their name once in their lifetimes. At the height of their powers, the name change was a sign of artistic maturity. Having a goal and putting it in writing keeps you connected to your original impulse. When you're up to your ass in alligators, it's easy to forget that your objective was to drain the swamp. So do your research, listen, study, watch, and look, and read. Before you can think out of the box, you have to start with the box. The box is a raw index of your preparation. It's a repository of your creative potential, but it's not that potential realized. Only when the research is done, the writing can come out and clearly and quickly. Sadly, some people never get beyond the box stage in their creative life. They have tons of research, but it's never enough to nudge them toward the actual process of writing the book or whatever their art form is. The solution? Free yourself. Get out of this box. Put it away for another day and start a new box. But do so with the faith that nothing is lost, that you haven't put in all this effort for nothing. Everything you've done is in the box and you can always come back to it. It gives you a chance to look back. You can look back and see the directions you didn't take, the ideas that intrigued you but didn't fit this time around and might be the start of your next box. The box is proof that you have prepared well. Also remember, you don't always have to start at the beginning. You can start with some specific aspect of the work and then find the beginning later. The first steps of the creative act are like groping in the dark. You can't just dance or paint or write or sculpt. Those are verbs. You need a tangible idea to get you going. The idea, however minuscule, is what turns the verb into a noun. Paint into a painting, sculpt into a sculpture, write into a writing, dance into a dance. Ideas are all around you. Everything we need to make something out of nothing is right in front of you. It already resides within your experience, memories, taste, judgment, critical demeanor, humanity, purpose, and humor. People ask, how do you get your ideas? And in order to answer that, because it's so blindingly obvious, you have to first appreciate what an idea is. A good idea is one that turns you on rather than shuts you off. It keeps generating more ideas and they improve on one another. A bad idea closes doors instead of opening them. It's confining and restrictive. The line between good and bad ideas is very thin. A bad idea in the hands of the right person can easily be tweaked into a good idea. You don't really have a good idea until you combine two little ideas. That is all you need to know about good and bad ideas. The more useful comparison involves big ideas and little ideas. You don't scratch for big ideas. They come upon you mysteriously, unbidden, sometimes unwelcome. There is always an ulterior motive behind a big idea. Usually you want to catch people's attention or make a pile of money or both. Big ideas are those that take up a lot of space in your mind, and if you commit to them, they'll be all-consuming. They are meaningless, though, if you fail to follow up on them. The big ideas quickly shrivel and evaporate into nothing if you don't act on them. So that's why you scratch for little ideas. Without the little ideas, there are no big ideas. When inspiration does not come to you, go halfway to meet it. The tiniest micro cell of an idea will get you going. Musicians know this because compositions rarely come to them whole and complete. They call them morsels of inspiration, lines or riffs or hooks or licks.